Spectacular Diagnostics.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Preview Show. Without doubt, the best cycling podcast recorded in a conservatory in the world. It is the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, and I am joined by James Knox of Sudal Quickstep. Hello, James.
Hello, how's it going?
It's all good. It's all good. Now, luckily, a bit of music just came on in the background, but I need to turn off, otherwise I will be fined. So, Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, first time you've ridden it.
Say that again. You broke up momentarily there. Hopefully the internet's all right.
Your first time here, isn't it? The Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, is it?
No. I did it in 19 and 23.
Ooh.
It's already my third go at it, mate.
No, it was last year.
Last year, there's a team we went home. But this year, we're here to stay.
Quality. Now, you've had the TDU in the legs. How was that? Was the TDU for you, for the team?
I think for the team, it wasn't amazing, but it was okay. But for me, it was a bit of a disaster, to be honest. I was a bit useless. I probably came into it just wanting to build shape and a bit of condition, so not the best legs. But I had a bit of a nasty crash stage two. Nothing nasty in terms of like needing operation or setting me back, but I was pretty battered and bruised. So I sort of nursed myself around for the next 2-3 days, and I didn't really feel better until the end of the race. So, yeah, I felt like a bit useless. Couldn't really help the boys. I was just sort of moping around, if I'm being honest.
And then you've had the Surf Coast Classic yesterday. Any better for that one?
I was much better, actually. I was much, much better. It was a pretty full-on race, actually. How these things go, I think it was just a bit of a midweek hit out for most people. A few teams wanted a sprint, but for the rest of the teams, they all just sort of lit it up as much as possible, going for the break. Never really stopped attacking. There was a big group of 25, 30 riders up the road. They got chased down, and then only in the last 25K, and then it kicked all off again. So, yeah, it was a pretty nice race.
I think I read somewhere Welsford saying that everybody was trying to put pressure on Red Bull.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, I think that was a bit off the way we looked at it as well, that they'd sort of, you know, they'd had a pretty good run of it at the TDU, so why not keep making them chase? And if there was no point trying to let three or four guys go up the rows, because that could be something they could quite easily control, they'd shown us that, so just jumping, making it as hard as possible and getting as many guys up the road as possible.
Okay, now we've got TDU. So it all comes down to the lap circuit, which is about 21 kilometres long. It's one that most people will know because it's the same every single year. Nothing much happens before that. Sometimes there's a threat of wind in echelons, but looking at the predictions, the wind isn't anywhere near strong enough. But I do notice that it's going to be bloody hot. So like 35, 36, which obviously isn't going to feel too great. He's kind of got away with that. The TDU, it wasn't the warmest. It was still warm, but not like previous years.
Yeah, to be honest, it was very, very cool. I mean, Australian summer-wise, it was very cool. And also coming to Geelong now, it's been pretty cool here the whole time. It was only like 20 degrees for the race we did yesterday. So it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system, this. I think, you know, even though guys have been here now for 2-3 weeks, it's going to feel a different level of hot than what we've been used to the whole time we've been here.
So the race is really all about the four ascent
Chalambra,
which is a nasty little bugger of a climb. It is 1.1 at 9.1%. First two times, usually pretty steady, and then last two times, sprinting up at absolute chaos. What's it like to ride? It looks horrible.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It keeps going. There's a sort of like, you got to be brave to go from the bottom. There's a little middle section here where the roundabout is, where you feel like you can sort of sit down, catch your breath a little bit. Because then this last bit, it's sort of like if you're not sort of kicking over the top until that right turn and going with some speed, you're sort of losing the wheel and gaps are forming over the top. So a little bit about, for the best guys, figuring out where can they go, balls out to the top, and for everyone else, how long can they hang on till so they can just sort of make this last little effort full, because this is all suddenly, then you're thrown in the gutter here, and you know, then you turn the next right and you're sprinting down the hill. There's a big difference on if it's tailwind up the climb though, or headwind up the climb, because 1 year I did it, it was headwind up the climb, and it was sort of able to stay a little bit more compact because guys could take a little bit of, it took the edge off a little bit.
So it looks like tailwind this year.
Yep.
Now the elastic never usually, it's only 1.1 kilometers in length. The elastic never usually snaps until just kind of really
Yes.
close to the top.
Yeah.
When they've got them.
This is the bit where you see the best guys making their sort of defining movement
Yeah.
and everyone else is parking up
And
because they're
then as you
sprinting up this last section.
yeah, and then as you say, you get over the top. It takes a moment for everybody to catch their breath, work out what's happening, who's off the front, who's not, and then you're straight into super fast downhill. Your speed's like, I don't know if you know what speed you've hit, but usually you see like 90 km an hour,
Yeah, it's fast.
something like that. And it's just, if you've been dropped, it's really hard to get back on if the front group's going super fast. And then you can go in and you go through that really narrow little bridge,
That's right, yeah.
which I always have a worry about. I usually breathe in when I see you guys going over it. I'm sure you don't worry about these things when you're flying down there at
No, no, no.
90 km
It's
an
quite
hour.
okay, the little bridge.
Yeah, so we get this little, really tight little bridge.
Yeah.
So single file across there, and then almost immediately we're into the Melville Road, Queen's Park Road
Yeah.
climb, which is, it's, I mean, it's really short. It's only like 300, 400 meters in length, but it's another chance to have a crack. Pretty steep, isn't it? It's like 11, 12%.
Yeah, but this one's hard to make a real big difference.
Yeah, it's
For
just
some
not
reason
long enough, is it?
it just doesn't quite do the same damage. There's often guys making bigger moves over the top actually, because this flat section never really doesn't really you don't really go down for a bit. So there's actually moves often sprinting over the top here instead of actually on the climb, you know, guys going over with momentum or see that everyone's suffering and they don't want to react to anything.
And then you've got, so from this point, it's, let me just check, it's 6K to go. And from previous years, you normally see like a group together, maybe about 20 guys, and then the rest of it is just attack, attack, attack. Big wide road, hard to make a difference, but sometimes you do get guys off the front. So last year it was, I think it was Quinn Simmons that actually got away. Crucially this year, once they make the right turn, we're about 3.6 to go and come through here again. The wind is coming from the side, so it's not as bad as previous years. Sometimes it's been headwind, and then you hit the coast, you hit the wee waterfront, and then it's going to be tailwind. So a real chance, I think, this year for somebody to escape that group and go for a solo. What do you think?
Still difficult, I would say. I'd say it's still difficult to make a move there to win. I mean, we've sort of seen a similar race dynamic, haven't we, where it's like the best climbers hitting out on the climb, potentially driving away a small group, four, six, eight guys, and then sort of hangs in the balance there. Will he be able to have the legs to sort of get over the second climb? Will he have the legs to get to the line, or do they sort of hesitate? Groups come back. Bigger group of 30, 40, 50 guys, or even 70 guys on occasion come into the line. I think, to get a solo winner, you've got to have remarkable legs.
So in previous years, it's always been selective. 2024, it was a group of 20. 2023, it was a group of 26. 2020, because the COVID couple of seasons where it was cancelled, it was actually a group of six. And Dries Deverens took the win back in 2020.
Yeah. But he was in two almost, wasn't he? Was he not with Sivakov and then there was a few guys behind? I'm not sure when he clipped off.
He beat Sivakov, I think, in the sprint. I think they just
Yeah.
clipped off. I think he benefited because I think he was refusing to work because, I think 2020, maybe it was Sam Bennett or somebody like that
Yes. That sounds right.
who was in the group behind, so Dries could refuse to work. 2019, it was a bigger group. It was 36 riders. Viviani won the sprint.
That's right. I
20.
was there that year. We did a bit of a donkey. Yeah, I was pulling for him. A few
Yeah,
K to go.
I mean, it's actually quite a Quickstep of a good history in this race.
Yeah.
They've won it a number of times. 2018, Jay McCarthy took the win from 24
Yeah.
riders. That's a blast from the past, Jay McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then 2017, Nicias Arndt took the win from a group of 23. So it's
Okay, so
always selective.
pretty small groups. Yeah.
But also the range of sprinters or guys finishing the top three is usually a bit weird, I'm going to say. So last year, Pithy won, Tesfasian was second, Zimmermann was third, Corbin Strong kind of blew it in the sprint. He launched too early. after the Israel boys kind of really rode for him proper hard. The year before, Meyerhofer won the sprint.
That's right, yeah.
Page was second, Clark was third, Matthews was fourth. So
Okay.
I think it tells me the sprint isn't, it's not a normal sprint. You're seeing guys getting beaten by technically
Yeah.
slower sprinters.
Yeah. There's a weird little thing as well, actually, where the sprint opens up and you sort of, you come down a little bit of a dip. So a lot of the guys who open early come down a small dip, and it almost feels like the guys who are coming off his wheel on the downhill can sort of benefit with a little bit more, how to say it, like coming out of his slipstream with more speed. You know, they've sort of little get opportunity to take a run at the guy who's taken opened it up. So
And I think that's what
yeah.
Pithy did last year. Pithy was, he was in behind
Yeah.
him. I think he almost got blocked in, but he managed to take
That's
a
right.
run at it and take the win. Now, in terms of who's going to be challenging, obviously you take a look back at Tour Down Under. UAE are not here. They've gone home. So no Narváez, which kind of opens the door a little bit. I'm looking at the start list. I see Red Bull. I see Pithy. I see Fisher Black, two absolutely superb options. Fisher Black was really good on Wollongong. He came from nowhere to almost get the win. And Pithy, obviously, he won last year. He's just very, very good at these short climbs. I also look at the Trek team, who had five riders in the front group on that tricky stage before Wollongong, and then kind of messed it up a little bit with this young sensation, the boy Philipson.
That's right, yeah.
And then your sort of stronger sprinters, your kind of Tobias Lund, maybe even a Sam Watson from Ineos, although he crashed and then he sat out the race yesterday.
Yeah, so unsure about him, but yeah.
Who
And for sure the way the Ineos have been riding as a team very strongly, the TDU and the they put everyone in the gutter a few days yesterday, so promising signs from them.
Always seem to do pretty well in terms of organising the team in a race like this. It's just whether or not Watson's recovered in time. And then if you're looking at climbers who can maybe destroy everybody, maybe Oscar Onley.
Well, yeah, I mean, not the thing for Picnic is they've got sort of only to sort of have a crack on the climb with Lund, you know, see if they can figure something out there between the pair of them where Onley maybe gets free rein at least to follow the moves. And like you say, just talking about the Devonin's a sort of dynamic where he was sat on with the best climbers and then in the end could get away. If they can do something similar where they have sort of the team around this, what's he called? Is it Lund? What's his full
Lund
name? I can't remember now.
Anderson.
Lund Anderson. But yeah, anyway, this lad was riding pretty well yesterday, so I
He's
think
a
they could be a
solid,
team to.
he's a good climber for us, well, all these sprinters seem to be bloody good climbers these days.
That is true. And then, yeah, trying to think. I mean, I think Israel again will fancy the chances of Corbin Strong.
He just doesn't win. It just he's such a good rider. Like, I'm not slagging him off at all. I think he's really, really, well, really, really strong. But these guys that sprint, these sprinters who are faster than him, just every year they seem to be so good at climbing. So he's in this tough position where races he wouldn't, like, you would normally expect somebody like him to win, all of a sudden there's always faster guys than him, which must be hell of a frustrating because where else does he go? Does he try and target more? Like, does he try and become a better, even better climber? I don't know. It's hard for him to win, I think.
I think in many ways, though, sort of backing up what you're saying, he's got to be maybe a little bit more aggressive because he certainly seems to have the legs to ride aggressive, you know, to jump with things and try and get away in, you know, guys, groups to the line instead of just sort of, potentially getting beaten by someone else in a group of 30, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, one year. Well, I think I'm going a while back now. I can't. It really kicked off. I think it was two laps to go, and I think it was Simon Yates ripped it, and Caleb followed, and they had this front group that had kind of quite a lot of the favourites, but then they got caught, and Caleb absolutely blew his chance because he tried to follow the bigger moves. I just wonder if there's an opportunity to really go for it to penultimate time up the climb.
I mean, there always is, but I think it's a little bit of a weird race where you sort of you still need numbers, don't you? Going right, like you can't, you wouldn't want to use the whole team penultimate time on the climb and then drive it round for a whole lap to be sort of left without guys to jump and follow from last time the climb to the line sort of thing. So yeah, everyone still ends up sort of waiting if they can or trying to get different options. But yeah, trying to think maybe Jayco again would sort of be quite happy to try and get. And Maro Schmidt, he's another possible good player for the
Yeah.
weekend. He's a guy who can certainly sprint, loves these short climbs, big power. So
Unfortunately, Plapp's out.
he's not
He's
racing.
no. They said he's got a wrist injury that he got in 2024.
Okay.
That's annoying him again, and he's going to need a bit of surgery. So
All right. Oh.
he's gone, which isn't great news because he obviously looks
Okay.
really good in TDU as well.
Yeah.
And the one that. Like, if this was 2 months ago and we're talking about this race, there's a guy who we've not mentioned, and the reason we've not mentioned him is he didn't have a good TDU, Stevie Williams. Ideally, perfect. This is a really good race for him. Now, he's
Yeah.
coming to TDU. He spoke about how he wanted to be trying to defend his crown. He had a crash. I think he probably didn't have the best of legs either. I don't think it was just his crash.
Yeah, he told me heavy is the crown. So that's words from his mouth, not mine. But no,
If
I'm
you're
really good
looking
mates
at
with
him,
Stevie.
he's
Yeah.
this is a really good race for him.
Yeah, it is. And he can really hit out on these climbs. Thinks yeah. I think he was obviously a bit disappointed with how TDU sort of went, so I hope he can bounce back and step into it. But yeah, I mean it's a great course for him and he's got the sort of the right attributes for it, for the big power on the short climbs. We've seen him do it before, Flesh and Tour of Britain and stuff, and he's also got a fantastic kick as well, so
Yeah, and last year he absolutely dedicated himself to strong,
yes.
and it didn't work. So potentially this year, I think it's all to do with who's got numbers in the group, how
Yeah.
big's the group, which
In
sprint
a
is
weird sort of
playing.
way, though, it's a really nice race because every time I've done it with Quickstep and sort of had success or seen success, it seems to be like it's no good just going there and setting your stall out and controlling the race. It really is a race where you want, if you were in Israel or if you were a picnic, you got to take advantage of the fact that you got a top sprinter who can maybe survive, have guys around him and let his doing thing, but use the dynamic of having, your best climber on Lee or Stevie Williams has got to punch over these climbs and be in the front group, and then you can start to play. Then you've got options on the table. Are they gonna? Is it looking very good for them in a group of four when they can win this, or can they sit on a group of seven or eight and say, "I'm not pulling. I've got Strong behind. I've got Tobias Lund behind," and then that way you're opening up both doors instead of just going, right, we're going to get on the front and make it hard on the climb, except suddenly 18 guys have got over, and what we're going to do now, we're just going to keep riding to the line and everyone else is sat in there and waiting for the chance. So
See, this is where I think the Trek guys might have a chance. If they can get five guys in a group of 18, 20, and they don't really have a sprinter, so all they're going to do is keep firing attack after attack and try and get
yeah.
away, and then force somebody into chasing.
Yeah, I'm certainly curious about this, the big talent. What's he called? Albert Philipson
I think it's
with the.
Wythen Phillipson.
Okay, right. But anyway, it sounds, everything so far has been pretty outstanding for
Did you
one
see what
month
he
as
did
a.
after the race yesterday?
Yeah, well, he's in the hotel with us. I think he got an extra 100K in, didn't he? I
What's
did
that all
60K
about?
more, so I was quite happy.
What is he, like 18 or something?
Yeah, 18, yeah.
I think maybe he needs to be told just to calm.
30 days into his life as a World Tour rider.
Yeah, there's a long way to go, pal. Just calm.
Can't hold these young lads back, mate. They're all chomping at the bit.
Changing face of cycling.
Yeah. Not slowing down.
So go on then. No, I haven't talked about Quickstep. So I'm looking at the team.
Yeah.
I like Ekdom for a race kind of like this. The climb is going to be too hard for him, but if he can get away before the final climb, and he loves a breakaway.
Exactly. So I think how I see it's pretty similar that Encon and Pedersen are our best chances. Pedersen, but I think they need to be even more aggressive, sort of forcing themselves up the road and trying to be potentially head of the game coming into last time the climb sort of thing. because Pedersen was riding fantastically on yesterday, and Encon's been going really strongly. But those guys have the motor to go all day and sprint from a small group, so if they can take the bulls by the horn. But I've got my pick for tomorrow, for Sunday anyway.
Oh, go on then.
I think Romo's going to take a flyer, the win.
Oh, I like it. Solo.
Yeah, I think he'll. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or I think he'll surprise someone with a sprint as well.
What, just smash it on Wollong, smash it
Yeah.
on Chalambra.
Yeah.
Wollonga style.
Yeah. I reckon the way he's been going, those legs. I mean, if you think about it, he probably should have won up Wollonga as well, shouldn't he? Which is pretty outstanding. If he'd just bided his time a little bit, and he was in the gutter, and I think he was, from what I heard, he was spending a lot of energy as well. So I think the legs he has,
Yeah.
smaller peloton. Three times people start to get tired. Fourth time he's got a chance to take a flyer, and they won't. Yeah, hard to get him back.
Well, you know, he's in my fantasy team, so I'd be delighted with that.
Yeah,
What
that's my
genius
pick anyway.
signs Javier Romo at the start of the season. Well, if I'm going to pick, I'm going to say Fisher Black. I think
Okay.
sprint from a group of maybe five or six. I think he's got the option. He's got the pithy option. If he isn't getting distance, probably by much, you might even find that Pithy and Fisher Black make the front selection. And then Fisher Black goes long. So despite everything I've said about Trek, I go with Fisher Black.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you've seen it, the big news this week, the hot topic is the price of watching cycling in the UK. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I don't fully understand. But I've seen it. Eurosports ceased to exist, and you've got to pay through TNT. Is that right?
Yeah, so I think it's all owned by Discovery, and
Right.
currently I think people were paying like £30 or something a month for the Eurosport stuff, and that's gone, and now it's gone over to TNT, and the cost is like going up by about 400% or something, which is just,
Yeah.
it's not great
But
for
how does it
cycling.
work though? You got to pay for like a sort of baseline subscription, and then you got to pay again to access the cycling or something.
Yeah, they've put it in with other sports. So they've tried to like
Okay.
bundle it together. So TNT already have like football and some rugby and stuff like that, and
Yeah.
they put it in with that package. Now, from my own selfish point of view, I already pay for it because I watch football. So, but if you're just a cycling fan who only watches cycling,
Yeah.
all of a sudden you're asked to pay a lot of money.
Roughly, what is it, a month?
Oh, did I read something like seven? That's like 70 or something like that.
That is
It's
a lot of money,
pretty.
isn't it?
It's pretty huge.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
I need to double check that. Maybe it was a wee bit lower, but it's noticeably different in terms of the
Yeah.
price.
Yeah,
Now,
yeah, yeah.
I grew up watching Tour de France on Channel 4. You know,
Yes.
I'm of that age, and
Yes.
then it moved over to Eurosport. But surely it's not a good thing for the sport if you're
No.
losing fans watching the big events.
No, absolutely not. I mean, in terms of like the fan base, the sort of interest in the sport, it's about people watching it, isn't it? So as soon as you start putting things behind a paywall, doesn't help the teams that rely on the sponsorship.
Yeah.
Yeah, takes people away from watching the event. The only thing interesting about cycling really is turning on the telly and getting to see it. So there's no, behind the scenes transfers or whatever. It's not like following a football team where you're sort of in and out of it for the passion of it, but yeah, cycling really is about being able to watch the big events, isn't it? So that's not, can't be good, really. And
No.
no one's making any money out of it. It's just
Yeah. The TV
broadcasting.
company.
Yeah.
So after the race, when do you head back?
Monday we fly back.
And then
Fly back
what's
to, as a team, we all fly back from Melbourne to Singapore to Brussels, and then I've got another flight to Barcelona.
Oh, that's a long day.
Long couple of days, but anyway, that's the
And
price you pay for a nice month in the sun.
then what's next for you after that? What races have you got?
Well, actually,
Was
I'm
it
supposed to be doing
back?
Rwanda. I'm supposed to be doing Tour of Rwanda end of February.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the development team. Someone, I think we need a pro team rider to go and do Rwanda. So,
What do you think about that
well, just today we're all discussing it because it's been kicking off in neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, and there's a bit of militia here and state-sponsored this and that, which I've not really been keeping an eye on, but obviously I've been having a read today just because I think it's been discussed within the team about, yeah, what's happening. So curious to see. I don't really know. I don't know enough about it, but obviously it's a bit of a, it will be a hot topic in cycling this year because Rwanda, the race is in just under a month, and then obviously there's Worlds at the end of the year. So we'll see. Curious to see. I mean, I was excited for the race. It looks like a great race, but hopefully, yeah, we're there if it's safe and sound, or yeah, if we need to not go, do
Yeah,
whatever's
because I
appropriate.
read that they've put a plan B in place for the Worlds. I think they've got Switzerland lined up.
I mean, there's been plenty of gossip amongst the riders as well about, yeah, needing a plan B and will it even happen? And but don't know, everyone's sort of, I guess everyone's going ahead like it will happen, but difficult to say, isn't it?
Well, it'd be a cool race to go to.
Yeah,
Crowds
well, that
look
was that,
immense.
yes, exactly. So that was the reason my hand was firmly up in the air. So I thought that sounded like a brilliant idea to get the chance to race to Rwanda. So still hoping I can do it. I hope everything's okay. That's a little bit selfish, isn't it? Because I'm just worried about my own sport and event and having a bit of a good time when there's obviously bad things happening. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
The Wall of Kingalli. Is that not the big climb they've got there?
I was just having a look at VeloViewer today, actually, at the stages, and there's some high altitude stages. There's a lot of climbing. So prologue to start, seven road stages.
That'd be pretty cool.
And I mean, if it's not that, I normally drone my dash every year, so
Yeah.
I can give that a bit. Get my head kicked in 3 degrees.
That's always a lovely contrast going from. What is it, 36 degrees this race to?
Drone my dash.
Yeah, those
Suffering.
horrible, horrible races.
Yeah.
Right, James, well, thanks for this. Good luck. Is it tomorrow for you? Is it?
No.
Time
It's
zones are doing my head in here. Oh, it's 2 days,
yeah,
yeah,
we've got
Friday night, aren't
two
they?
nights.
So,
Yeah, Friday night.
best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
And then we'll see you when you get back on the other side.
Yes.
Full kumite, accumulate pace. First razor blade for the gate. We move from weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change. Flight delayed like haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves saw, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall. To ball came. But brought a broad brain with all game, you small change. You do like a solid grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hey. Nah, daddy. Oh. Yeah. I feel like. Should be fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I write the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, and we go to some blowing hazy circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the pillow off without watching his body fall. Porky ass with the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone. Skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo. Chop the rock to 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. With Nag Daddy kicking at, you know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.